这里是希望之声网上时针英语节目。
Welcome to Jewels from the Internet. My name is Debbie, and I'm glad that you've joined me for our program today. Jewels from the Internet was set up so that you could learn some new English language skills, and I hope that by listening to me talk to you, you will pick up some of the words that I say or the pronunciation of words that I say. Also, maybe I will be able to tell you the meanings of some of the words that maybe you're not quite sure of, and also the spellings of some of the words. You know, we do little stories, and today I've got three short little stories, and I hope I get through them all. I hope that they aren't too long to be able to put three in our program today. So the first one we're going to do is number 397, and it's a short little story that's called Who's the Sissy? Now, I'll read it for you, and then I'll come back and I'll tell you some of the word meanings, and sissy might be one of those word meanings that maybe you haven't heard before. So I'm going to read them, and then I'll go through them, and then I'll go on to the next one. You know, we put all our little stories together in little booklets called Jewels from the Internet. And I encourage you to write to me and ask for the booklets so that you can have these stories for yourself. That way you can read them again and again. And that will help you practice reading and talking in English. Also, you might be able to copy them and put them on other pieces of paper, and that way you can practice your writing skills too. So at the end of the program today, I will give you an address that you can write to me, and that way I will be able to send you the booklets. Well, let's start at the top of Who's the Sissy? It's very, very short, so let's go through it now. One summer evening, during a violent thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her son into bed. She was about to turn off the light when he asked with a tremor in his voice, "Mommy, will you sleep with me tonight?" The mother smiled and gave him a reassuring hug. "I can't, dear," she said. "I have to sleep in Daddy's room." A long silence was broken at last by his shaky little voice. The big sissy. I told you it was very, very short, didn't I? Well, this is about a little boy that wants his mummy to sleep with him because he's a little bit afraid of the thunderstorm. But you know, when he asked her to sleep with him and she said no, she needed to go to her own room because Daddy was in her room, then he said, "Oh, Daddy's more afraid than I am." So he's a big sissy. Well, let's go back and see if you have figured out what sissy means. I looked it up in the dictionary, and it said weak or timid. Somebody that is weak or maybe shy is another word for being a sissy. Sometimes shy people look like they're timid or weak, but really they aren't. They're just very quiet. Let me spell sissy for you. S-I-S-S-Y. So this story was comparing the little boy to his daddy and asking the question, who was most afraid? So let's go through the words now in it. One summer evening during a violent thunderstorm. Oh, have you ever been in a violent thunderstorm? I have, and I haven't had the occasion to be in a very bad one here in Hong Kong yet since I've lived here. But you know, I hear that typhoons are violent storms. Is there thunder with a typhoon? Oh, I probably think there would be. And like I said, I haven't lived through one here yet, but I'm sure I will. I know we've had some violent thunder. Since I live right by the ocean, right on a bay, I know we've had some bad thunder. And I know I was scared. My children were scared too. And even my puppies were scared. They came and they jumped up on my bed and wanted to be with me. So maybe they were a little bit the same. We could say that they were sissies, couldn't we? They were weak. They did not like to have those big claps of thunder that made so much noise. Well, violent means particularly bad. Not just a normal thunderstorm where you get thunder and lightning and wind, but this was a violent one, so it was particularly bad. It was probably one of the worst. So let me spell violent for you. V-I-O-L-E-N-T, violent. Now, the mother was tucking her son into bed. Now, have you ever tucked your children into bed? That means they jump into bed and you put the covers around them and you get them all nice and cozy inside and you give them a hug and a kiss and then you turn out the light. You've tucked your child into bed. So she was tucking her son into bed. T-U-C-K-I-N-G. Just as she was about to turn off the light, he asked with a tremor in his voice. Now, if you have a tremor in your voice, it's usually because you're a little bit scared, aren't you? Either you've been crying or you're afraid or you fear for something. So a tremor in your voice would mean that you were afraid or very scared. Tremor, T-R-E-M-O-R, tremor. And he said, "Mommy, will you sleep with me tonight?" Well, she smiled and gave him a reassuring hug. What's a reassuring hug? Is it different than any other hug? You'll have to think about that one. But a reassuring one just lets him know that he's loved or she's loved. And it's one that maybe you've already hugged him goodnight after you've tucked them into bed, but you give them an extra little hug. That would be a reassuring hug. Let me spell reassuring for you. R-E-A-S-S-U-R-I-N-G. Reassuring. But she said that she couldn't because she wanted to sleep in Daddy's room. Well, a long silence. That's when no words were spoken by either of them. It was very quiet. Silence. S-I-L-E-N-C-E. It was broken at last. That means that somebody finally broke the silence and somebody talked. It was broken at last. And it was by the little boy and his shaky little voice. Remember, it had a tremor before, but now it was shaky. It was very afraid. It was trembling. Shaky. S-H-A-K-Y. And he said, "The big sissy." He had a good name for his dad now, didn't he? Another word there would be the big chicken. If you've ever had the expression said, "Oh, you're chicken to do something," that means you're afraid or you don't want to try. You're chicken. And that's the same as the big sissy. Well, I hope that you found a few words in that short little story that maybe you didn't know. Let's go on to the next one. And this is number 398. And it's called The Candle. The Candle of Love, Hope, and Friendship. I asked God for water. He gave me an ocean. I asked God for a flower. He gave me a garden. I asked God for a tree. He gave me a forest. I asked God for a friend. He gave me you. There is not enough darkness in the world to put out the light of one candle. That's a very serious little poem or little saying, isn't it? So let's go through and see if we can find some words in there or some phrases that maybe you didn't understand. Well, a candle, of course, is a stick with made out of wax, and it usually has a wick that runs up through it. And if you light that wick, it will burn the wax and the wick, and it will give light. So that's what a candle is. C-A-N-D-L-E, candle. Well, it says this is the candle of love. Love is how we feel about somebody when we really like them. Hope. Hope is what we think we need or we want, or we know that something's going to happen if we do good. And friendship is what we have in others. When somebody else cares for us and we care for them, it's friendship. Let me spell love, hope, and friendship. Love is spelled L-O-V-E. Hope is H-O-P-E. And friendship is F-R-I-E-N-D-S-H-I-P. Love, hope, and friendship. Well, now this was like a prayer, wasn't it? I asked God for water, and He gave me an ocean. He gave me lots of water. An ocean. O-C-E-A-N. I asked God for a flower, and He gave me a garden. That means He gave me many flowers. I hope you've had the opportunity to see a huge flower garden. I have a friend that has a mother-in-law that grows flowers in the summer, and there's acres and acres of beautiful flowers, so different colors, different tall or short, fat and big and wide, just a beautiful, all you can see are these beautiful flowers. I asked God for a tree, and He gave me a forest. That means He gave me many, many, many trees. Forest. F-O-R-E-S-T. God asked me, I asked God for a friend, and He gave me you. That means that, you know, we each can have friends, can't we? God has made all of them. And here's a definition of a friend. There is not enough darkness, that means nighttime or blackness, there is not enough darkness in the world to put out the light of one candle. Have you ever been in a very dark, dark, dark night where it's so dark you can't see anything? Maybe it's when it's storming. And from a long ways away, you can see a candle flickering. It's kind of like looking up in the sky at night and seeing one or two stars. They're there all the time, aren't they? And that's what this means. There is not enough darkness in the world to put out the light of one candle. Well, we've done two of my three little stories, and we've got plenty of time. So let me start on the last one. Now, this last one is going to be number 399, and it's called Black versus White. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever been able to live in an African country where a lot of black people live, a lot of Africans live. It's different than maybe in some other country where you don't see very many white faces. Well, you know, in North America, we have a lot of many different cultures in our continent. In Canada, there's so many, I can't even tell you them all, because people come to live there from all around the world. And that's the same with the United States. A lot of the southern part of the United States has a lot of African American people that have lived there, or Caribbean American, or African Caribbean American. So you've got a lot of people that are black, not just plain white or brown or any of the other colors of people around the world. Well, this story is a story about the difference between maybe an African American and a white person or a Caucasian person. So in the United States, if you've ever had a chance to live in the very south of the country, you'll find that English is spoken a little bit differently in all parts. And even in Canada, where I come from, the eastern part of Canada, they have a very different accent than the western part of Canada. That's hard to believe, isn't it? And I'm sure that people in China have a different accent if you're from the north part than if you are from the south. And so they talk just a little bit differently in whatever language they're talking. And in the southern United States, the African Americans have a definite different flavor of how they say some things. So this little story was written by an African American that lived in Texas. Now, if you ever get a chance to look at a map or a globe, you can look up where Texas is. It's down at the very bottom of North America. And part of it, quite a lot of it, has a coastline on the Caribbean Sea. So it's way down there. And this African American lived in Texas. You'll have to look Texas up, T-E-X-A-S. Well, let me read it through first, and then I'll go through it again a little bit closer with you. Just keep in mind that I probably can't talk like an African American that comes from the southern United States. And like I said, they do speak English a little differently sometimes. Let me read it. When I born, I black. When I grow up, I black. When I go in sun, I black. When I cold, I black. When I scared, I black. When I sick, I black. When I die, I still black. You white folks, when you born, you pink. When you grow up, you white. When you go in sun, you red. When you cold, you blue. When you scared, you yellow. When you sick, you green. When you die, you gray. So, who you calling colored? Now, you have to realize that people that have dark skin usually do stay dark, don't they? And he's just trying to tell you that he was born the same color that he's going to die. But people that have white or very fair-colored skin, they turn all sorts of shades of different colors. And that way, we people that are white or people that are Caucasian may be more colored throughout our lifetime than any black person could be. Well, you know, it's kind of telling you about racism. Do you know what racism is? It's a belief in the superiority of the particular race. Now, I took that out of the dictionary because I wanted to have the right meaning for you. So it's one race that thinks that they're better than another race. And you know, that's not what happens on Earth, is it? We should all think that we're equal because we were all created the same. And, you know, it doesn't matter where we come from or what color we happen to have for skin. We're all the same inside, aren't we? So this is really talking about a little bit of racism, isn't it? Let me spell racism for you. R-A-C-I-S-M. Well, you know, sometimes black people or African Americans are called colored. And that usually is said to them by a different race, not their own race, but maybe Caucasian or Indian, or there's many different other races that will say that they're colored. And I know sometimes if there's an intermarriage and there's a child, they might be colored because they have different components. They might have a black person married a white person, and then they aren't quite as dark and they're not quite as white. So that's why some of these people are called colored. Well, did you enjoy the way this person spoke? It was very different, wasn't it? But let's go through it again. When I born, I black. That just means he had dark skin, didn't he? When I grow up, I black. When I go in sun, I black. Out in the sunshine. And you know, I think God maybe made us that way, because if it's very, very hot, those countries that are right by the equator seem to have darker skin, don't they, than the people that live up by the North Pole, like us Canadians, or even the ones that live down south and by the South Pole. So I think that our skin color and our skin type has a little bit to do with where we live in the world. So when I go out in sun, I black. When I cold, I black. You know, have you ever seen somebody that is very, very cold? Very, very cold. And I guess I can think of lots of people because living in northern Canada, we can get very cold. And our skin gets very, very white. It almost turns bluish because all the blood seems to go internally. And so the outer part of our skin doesn't have any blood in it anymore. And we're just really cold. But this African American, if he goes out in the cold, his color doesn't change. He still is black. When I'm scared, I black. If you're scared, what are you? You're afraid, aren't you? You're really afraid of whatever's going to happen. Let me spell scared for you, because that might be a word that you haven't had the spelling for before. S-C-A-R-E-D. That means to be afraid. And afraid is spelled A-F-R-A-I-D. Let's go on. When I'm sick, I black. So remember, the black means the color of my skin. It's dark. And to be sick means that you're ill, right? When I die, I still black. So he was describing himself in that part. Now he's going to describe white folks. And that's an expression that they lots of times use. They call another race folks. So this is the Caucasian race that he's talking about now. You white folks, and that just means people, folks, F-O-L-K-S. When you born, you pink. And that's true. When babies are born, they're really kind of reddish tinged or pink. You know, they've been through a lot of stress and their skin is very tender, so they're pink, P-I-N-K. When you grow up, you white. Some of us have whiter skin than others, don't we? Some of us are very, very fair. If we have blonde hair, we might burn in the sun very easily. We're white. W-H-I-T-E. When you go in the sun, you red. And that's true. Have you ever seen somebody that has had a very bad sunburn? Oh, and if you have very fair skin, it's red. And it looks so sore. So that's when you go out in the sun, you can burn your skin and get very red. When you cold, you blue. And I already told you that, didn't I? That if you are out in the cold and you get very, very cold, you turn a little shade of blue. When you scared, you yellow. Remember what scared meant? To be very afraid. And sometimes when people are very, very afraid, they can have sort of a yellow tinge to their skin. I know that sounds very strange, doesn't it? But I don't know what the chemical reaction is inside you, but you do look a little bit different. You don't look like you're calm and at rest. When you sick, you green. Now that's an expression also that, you know, sometimes people are ill and they look green around the gills. Have you ever heard that expression? It's a North American expression, I think. And it just means that you don't look very good. You look ill. You look sick. And you are. But you just have this complexion that does not look very healthy. And when you die, you gray. And that's true. I have seen some people that have died, working in a place where we have a lot of elderly people. Some of them had died. And they do, you know, the blood kind of comes out of your tissues and you do not look very colorful anymore. You don't look pink, you don't look white, you don't look red. You do look a little bit gray. G-R-A-Y. And his last sentence was saying, okay, now who's being a racist here? It says, so who you calling colored? So it's just the difference. One of us, our skins turn different colors for different things, but yet the African American skin, since it's very dark, it stays the same color. So those are the three short little stories that I had for you in our program for today. And I hope that you did get some new words to put into your English vocabulary. It doesn't matter what color skin we have, we all can speak English together, can't we? And if I can remind you that sometimes English is spoken differently in different countries, it's true. Even in the same country that I live in, there's many different accents, and I know that you'll have found that out too. I did tell you that at the beginning of the program, that when we got to the end of our program today, I would give you an address that you could write to me. So let me give you that address right now. Put down to Debbie, D-E-B-B-I-E, at GPO Box 7600, Hong Kong. Debbie at GPO Box 7600, Hong Kong. The fax number we have here at the station is 852-2457-6019. We also have an email address, so if you have the internet and have access to a computer, you're welcome to use it. Zhaomeng at vohc.com. Let me spell that for you. Zhao Meng, Zhaoming, at vohc.com. And I'm glad to tell you that I have had some people write me letters and also use the email or the internet. So I'm glad that you are getting those addresses. We also have a website, and if you happen to live in an Asian country and you know Chinese language, you're welcome to look on it, www.vohc.com. Thank you for being with me on our program, and I hope that you'll come back for the next program of Jewels from the Internet.
Thank you for being with me on our program, and I hope that you'll come back for the next program of Jewels from the Internet. 如果听众朋友想跟我们取得联系，您可以直接发电子邮件给我，我是艾德，我的电子邮件地址是艾德，也就是汉语拼音的 A-I-D-E 艾德 at vohc.cn。 谢谢您今天的收听，再见。